Welcome to month four investability tour briefing that covers the trading period from the 1st of April to the 30th of April 2023. Once again, we'll be continuing with this new style of briefing as of recent months. I hope you all found it interesting as we look closer at what is happening within Credit Exchange. Firstly, today we will begin by looking at one of our mining originators and a recent trade for them. Next, we will show you some of the work that goes on at our deal desk and some of the potential projects the team are looking at. There will also be our monthly segments on the Seaborne reports and the state of the European and global economies. And then we will look at the briefing itself and some of the key information from it and some updates on credit. To finish off, we'll have a look into our ETS exchange traded securities. So for now, for our first topic, I'll hand you back to Andrew.
Thanks for that, Ruby. So then to begin today's first section, I want to discuss an originator who we actually have already previously mentioned. But this time we are going to be looking at some of their debtors that were traded on the exchange and quite heavily traded during April. So this originator offers a complete full service processing solutions for the aggregates, mining, C&D waste recycling and environmental sectors throughout the UK. And last time we spoke about them, we discussed their debtor Skanska Constein joint venture. SCS were just one of the three large joint ventures being traded by this originator, who had won significant UK infrastructure contracts in 2022. These contracts were each for a section of the new high-speed rail link being built to link London in the northwest of Britain, called High Speed 2, or HS2 for short, which is currently one of the largest public infrastructure projects in the UK. The overall cost for the entire HS2 project is expected to break £98 billion, with Credit forecasting to trade over £95 million for this with our originator, with nearly £50 million of this left to be traded on the exchange. For this month, the debtor I want to mention is the Balfour Beatty Vichy joint venture, or BVV. Like its SCS, they are involved in the HS2 project. Contracts with the BVV are traded monthly, with April being no exception. There were two trades in April, totaling in excess of £4.4 million, where one of the trades was the largest trade for the month, which was supplier finance, or BTR, trade, valued at £3.124 million. Since then, there has been a further £2.2 million traded on this debtor alone. As per the briefing document itself, you will see that in our top 10 largest investable ETR holdings list, where we show the debtors with the highest traded values, first and second are debtors from this originator, and both debtors are involved in the HS2 project. It's very clear that the HS2 project has been very beneficial for Credit to be involved in, as it has provided a constant source of high-value trades that can continue to settle within the expected payment terms and occasionally are settling earlier. This is great for the exchange because when we have contracts trading with faster payment terms, it allows our credit index to improve. As you all know, the credit index is the ETR average duration or number of days it takes for an ETR to settle. The lower the number of days it takes to settle means the quicker we can get your funds, your investors' funds into the market, settled and replaced back into the market. Our credit index, as you can see from the briefing document, was 78 for April, a slight increase on last month's 75, but still well within the market average range. So establishing a relationship with an originator who's heavily involved in such a large government-funded project has been great for the exchange. But Credit makes sure not to become over-reliant on one debtor for any originator. We will normally enforce a three-debtor minimum rule. This is so we can increase the diversification within each originator's trades and also to provide greater protection to our investors. As many of you will know, the second step in the four-tier capital protection we have in place for our investors is the use of our originator's reserves. So to explain this quickly, for anyone who may not have heard it before, we will only ever release 80% of the invoice out to our originator. We will then withhold the remaining 20% until the full 100% of the invoice is settled by the debtor. If, for any reason, the invoice fails to settle, we will then use these reserves to settle this defaulted invoice, and we can use reserves of any debtor in the same originator's profile. So by having more debtors and enforcing this three-debtor minimum, it allows for more reserves for Credit to call on if needed, meaning the exchange is not overexposed on one originator. To put this into context, let's take a look at this originator once again and view their entire trading for April. During this month, they traded £7.3 million of debtor finance across 13 different debtors. If we take out the debtor BBV, the value traded for this month is still £2.8 million. This shows the diversification we have within each originator, and we are not overexposed as there are reserves available to call on from other debtors. As with this new style of briefing, it isn't just about telling you the numbers. We want to explain the business better and provide a further look into the operations of what goes on in credit daily and how we use and protect your clients' funds. Keeping with this, as happened last month, we will look at some of the potential deals that could happen in the future. These are what Patrick and his team, the Deal Desk, are working on. So I'll once again hand you over to Patrick to talk to you further about this month's topic.
Thanks, Andrew. And hello, everyone. As Andrew said, it's my remit to explain some of the potential deals the Deal Desk is working on. And once again, we have quite a few interesting potential projects right now. Because this briefing's focus is on getting feedback on regulation and indeed whether we should issue exchange-traded securities, I'm going to be quite brief and then come back in at the end. There are possible deals out of the UAE that are involving fuel sources such as oil and gas. We've one looking at selling the resources from Kazakhstan, potentially selling to Nigeria and other African nations. These are all against documentary letters of credit. So they might be exotic locations, but the banks in question are either reputable banks in places like the UAE, who would be A-rated banks. And if we can't get A-rated banks in those African locations, we take the letter of credit from Africa and we get it confirmed by a bank in London or in the EU. So again, looking for confirmation by an A-rated bank. So essentially de-risking the thing pretty much to the 99th degree. Kazakhstan as a country is not somewhere where you'd associate necessarily with the sale of oil, but they have oil reserves apparently of 3.9 billion tons per annum, which equates to 1.7% of the world's total liquid reserves and puts that country 12th place in the world for oil reserves. So it's rich in natural gas deposits along with oil, and has a thousand billion cubic meters of proven reserves, as the last time that number was taken was 2018. In short, Kazakhstan is a good supplier of oil and a good place to be taking it from to supply it elsewhere, against which we are getting settled by letters of credit. We're also looking at financing the selling of sugar by a Dutch company that's sourcing the sugar in Brazil and selling into China and other parts of Asia. We have another originator looking for trade finance for the business that'll be moving pig iron from Angola and selling it into customers in Switzerland. And there are several ship asset trades in the pipeline, including an offshore vessel that will go into a medium to long-term contract with an oil major, a small fleet of three coastal vessels that will operate in the Black Sea and the Mediterranean, and lastly, what's called a high-speed RoPax vessel in Mauritius. For those of you unfamiliar with the term RoPax, a RoPax vessel is one that transports passengers and also provides roll-on, roll-off transport for lorries, containers, and cars as well. Much like the high-speed ferry that SeaLink used to operate out of Dunleary, that they now operate out of Dublin Port. So those are all deals that are going through the process. And as you may recall, we probably do one in about 20 of, so of every 20 deals that hit the Deal Desk, they go through a qualification process and they are slimmed down substantially. But of the 20 that get reviewed and that we have meetings with, out of those 20, we might write one. So a 5% hit rate, I think, is what they call it. So anyway, that's a brief update, because I'd prefer to save the time for a discussion at the end. And although the audit isn't yet completed, we'd like to briefly review the draft financial statements because they're relevant to our discussion on the possible introduction of exchange-traded securities, or ETS, and indeed the ramping up of online marketing of Investable. So back to you, Andrew.
Thanks, Patrick. And again, it's great to get a better insight into the type of deals Credit are looking to finance and some of the initial groundwork that is done by you and your team. As discussed before, Credit will always keep an eye on what's going on in the world when looking to write new business. Trades that have a significant relevance to today's current affairs will always be available, as they are what the world and the market are focusing on. Patrick just discussed with us the potential deal for Nigeria to purchase oil from Kazakhstan. Well, this ties directly into one of the seaborne reports from this month, where it discusses how, due to the OPEC oil output falling in April due to a halt of some of Iraq's exports, there are now delays to Nigerian shipments, and how Nigeria are outraged and may look to secure alternative sources. Credit's research and market tracking allows us to best position ourselves for these types of relevant potential deals. Looking at the rest of reports that have come in from Seaborne over the month, there is a quite clear theme ongoing, and it's primarily to do with fuel. There is one report about the EU already trying to fill gas storages ahead of the upcoming winter to avoid last year's high prices. There is a continuation in the US LNG story about how US producers of liquefied natural gas exported at top capacity in April, which was a second consecutive month, but over two-thirds of their shipments bound for Europe, and also rising volumes in Latin America. And also, there is a state report stating that nuclear energy discussions across the EU are increasing due to its low carbon emission, and how nuclear energy could play an atomic role in Europe's transition to becoming greener and reaching its renewable energy goals. One report, though, that does not fall under the energy source team is how the G7 is seeking to reduce the trade dependency on China. This report is quite a U-turn and nearly contradictory compared to what we've seen the last few months. If you remember from last month's briefing, China were involved in pretty much every part of it. Maybe world leaders are changing their minds about trying to benefit from the Chinese return to economic activity. To finish off this section, Seaborne's report once again holds steady their figures from previous about the changes to the global fleet, with both the Handymax and Panamax set to lose 15% of their fleet in the next 5 years, and their future order book not sufficient to replace this loss. If we now look to the Baltic Index, it has remained fairly steady over the last month, ending slightly higher. It fluctuated between 1,570 and 1,362, while ending the month at 1,555. It is currently sat at 1,295, though, and this slide since the end of April can be seen in the spot markets, with decreases on the numbers I presented to you last month. The current spot price is sitting at $10,900 per day, with the FFA markets also showing lower prices compared to last month. They are currently 11.8 US thousand dollars per day and 11.95 thousand US dollars for Q4, and with Q1 2024 even lower at 9.3 thousand US dollars per day. This fall in prices may be reactionary as the overall perilous feeling around the global economy grows. Even though I do somewhat share this feeling, there is a campaign within Europe right now to steer away from this theory. A recent article in the Financial Times stated how doom mongers are wrong to underestimate the European economy. They were citing Germany's success in ending reliance on Russian gas as just one of the examples of Europe's adaptability and resilience. Recent results, though, seem to back up this theory, as the over-exaggeration of doom mongering, a better than expected performance at the beginning of the year, has lifted the forecast for the EU growth marginally upwards. The European Commission's spring 2023 economic forecast outlined how falling energy commodity prices are driving a sharp fall in energy bills, but core inflation is actually firming. As a result, the inflation forecasts have again been revised upward, and markets have been raised or have raised expectations about future policy rate hikes. As discussed at last month's briefing, April's inflation results would have a big deciding factor on what happens at May's ECB policy meeting. The euro area's consumer price inflation was confirmed at 7% in April 2023. slightly higher than the previous month's 13-month low of 6.9%. The rebound of energy prices by 2.4% are deemed to be a cause of this, with the ECB announcement then only 2 days later, where they confirmed a 25 basis points increase to both the lending and deposit rate, with both now standing at 3.75% and 3.25% respectively. The expectation has now changed. There will be even more rate hikes than predicted. We continue to expect the ECB to hike rates by 25 basis points in June, bringing the deposit rate to a peak of 3.5%, with risks of a final 25 basis point hike in July, depending on future developments in the US banking system. This was a take by Frederick Ducozeau of PK Wealth Management. While Europe's results were disappointing, the UK have had somewhat of a better month, with inflation falling below 10% for the first time since August, coming in at 8.7%. This, though, was higher than was actually forecasted, which was 8.2%. And this data means that a further interest rate hike by the Bank of England at their next monetary policy meeting is almost guaranteed. And this is according to the financial markets, where they're pretty much anticipating the base rate could reach a peak of almost 5.4% before the end of the year. Then while in America, the banking crisis still lingers on. JP Morgan's chief executive, Jamie Dimon, claims the domino effect that started with Silicon Valley Bank's collapse has quickly followed by the Signature Bank, Credit Suisse, and now First Republic is actually coming to an end. There may be another smaller one, but this pretty much resolves them all, he said. Though he did actually acknowledge that there are lingering risks, particularly in the US, where he said a fresh recession and higher for longer interest rates could reveal other cracks in the system. Now, for the next section, I will discuss the briefing itself. So you will see the figures showing the active RSA of 86.68 million euro, with 74.39 million fully allocated in the first section. As already mentioned, the credit index increased slightly for the month to 78, though this is still in the average range what we expect to see. And the trading figure for the month was 14.78 million euro, with all available ETR in the market fully utilized. Our lists of the top 10 largest holdings and top 10 rated once again contain regular appearance from the likes of the HSE and Nestle. And at the top of the list is Balfour Beatty and Skansen Constein. These are two debtors we mentioned earlier, which are involved in the HS2. This is Balfour Beatty's third month in a row on the list and Skansen's fourth, while Breedon and Lancashire County Council round off our mining contingent. Our donut graphs then are showing a well-diversified spread of investments, with the largest sections in wholesale and retail, construction, and then health and community. These sectors have identifiable debtors on the top 10 largest holdings listed, Nestle representing wholesale and retail, construction would be our mining debtors, and then HSC for health and community. If we look to the performance sector then, we see the 2023 104 versus 2022 104 was up 34.0% at 14.78 million traded for April of this year, compared to only 11.02 million euro traded in March or April 2022. Volumes continue to remain down by 14.94% as the value to volume ratio increases in line with higher value and quality traded ETR. Investor redemptions increased slightly for April to 1.834 million euro. This is still much lower than the irregular high that was seen in previous months. There is a repeat then of the credit index of 78. Once again, a mining trade involved in the HS2 project in the UK was the single largest trade at 3.124 million pounds. And as we know from earlier this briefing, this was for the debtor Balfour Beatty. Our trend section then charts the interest rate for the month running outside of the current demand, fixed and term rates. As you all know by now, we once again have increased our investable rates on offer for our three products. As we have discussed at our recent briefings, we will continue to monitor the market and would act if needed. With the ECB continuing to increase their interest rates, investors are now able to receive substantially higher rates on their funds. With banks continuing to increase their deposit rates, we too will continue to increase ours, so that your investors retain the advantage of investing with Investable. Our rates currently now stand at demand at 4.25%, fixed at 5%, and term is 22.504% at the end of the 3-year term, which is a compounded rate. The term offering is once again the highest rate ever on offer by Investaville, which we are delighted to be able to provide this opportunity to you and your investors. This offer is for all investments, new and maturing. The trend section also discusses how demand for Investaville is below where it should be, but with a combination of these new rates and exchange-traded securities, which Patrick will talk to you shortly about, it is predicted this imbalance will be rectified. And as before, the briefing document ends with a repeat of the RSA figure of 86.68 million euro.